Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder.
Hokey Slowpo Winkle!
And that's Rocky? Rocket J Squirrel? Okay. And of course, the master behind the sound effects I'm with tonight, as always, Brian Sant, the NJGHS tech guru and producer of The Deadline. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
1 week to Halloween.
Yippee.
Big night. Big week coming up. We're basically, the NJGHS is pounding the media pavement. If you are in News 12 New Jersey reception, check your local listings on your cable. But if you do get News 12 New Jersey, you will see one of the NJGHS people coming live every morning the week of Halloween from the 27th to 31st from a haunted location in New Jersey. And then they're also going to do some segments, taping and stuff, so they'll have a segment that'll run periodically throughout the remainder of the day from that particular location. So if you check our website on the presentations page of our website, njghs.net, you will see the schedule and the different locations that we will be in for the week of Halloween with News 12 New Jersey. That's every morning, starting bright and early at 5:45 a.m. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lucky you.
I got to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Greg and Sherry are doing Tuesday. Dina's doing Thursday, and Dina's going to do Friday with me at Charlie Brown's. We finally got all that straightened out with Charlie Brown's corporate. So, but, you know, it'll be good. And check your newspapers. I believe the day this show uploads might be the Daily Record, which is a Morris County paper in New Jersey, will have in their entertainment or things to do guide. I think they'll have an article or something. And Wednesday, the 29th, I think the Hudson Reporter, which is a Hudson County paper, will have an article. Friday, October 31st, the state paper, basically, the Star Ledger, will have an article on the, you know, on ghosts and ghost hunting and Halloween. And
la-dee-da.
So the NJGHS, I think, will be captioned in that. And, you know, so this is it, our peak season, you know, for people to, like, get off your couches and get out and join the NJGHS and be a ghost hunter. You know, it doesn't just have to be at Halloween. This is all the hoopla and media attention time, but our work is all year round, right, Brian?
That's right.
It never lets up, you know?
Especially ours.
Yeah. And speaking of work, I've invested some time. My publisher put together a really nice website with this Ning component to it, so it made it like a, instead of just a website of americashauntedroadtrip.com, it gave it more of the MySpace flavor, so you could invite people to it, and they could each set up their, just like on MySpace, how you invite friends, and they all have their MySpace page linked to yours, and you can blog back and forth, and post messages back and forth, and comment, and all that stuff. Well, americashauntedroadtrip.com, if you go to that site, it'll automatically bump you to ahrtbooks.ning, which is N as in Nancy, I, N as in Nancy, G, .com. So it's americashauntedroadtripbooks.ning.com, and that's their whole MySpace vision, version, whatever. And so I invested a few hours yesterday and sent out about 1,100 invitations to my closest friends. And
lucky us.
Yeah, I noticed you accepted. I was very happy. And
because if I didn't, you'd be like, Anya, why'd you accept?
Yeah, I would be. I'd be dismayed, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah. So good move.
So just learn to shut you up beforehand.
Exactly. Good move. Very good. See, ladies, nagging does have its advantages. But yeah. So I sent out the invitations. I took some time, and you know what I did? I figured out since the deadline is an MP3, duh. All I had to do was download our MP3 to my computer, and then go over and load it as a song on the America's Haunted Road Trip page that I have. Mm-hmm. So now, every week, I will make it a point to download the new show MP3 instead of just listening through Podcast Alley. And then I will put it over on my America's Haunted Road Trip page. So that way people can get it from iTunes, from the Deadline page, from Podcast Alley, and from the America's Haunted Road Trip Ghost Chick page.
Ooh, we might actually have one more listener.
You never know. People may say, oh, because, you know, people, when they go on different other people's MySpaces page, they get confronted the minute you open up their MySpace with whatever song they picked. But with the America's Haunted Road Trip, from what I see, you have to actually click on it and play it. You can see the person's playlist. It gives all the titles, mm-hmm. but you'd have to activate it, which is nice. It's not like... Because sometimes you forget if you had your speakers way up, because you could have been on another site and the volume was down on the site, and you turn the volume up on your computer, then you get to somebody else's MySpace page, and you blow your eardrums out. So, anyway, it's pretty cool. They've set it up with a tell-your-own ghost story page, you know, a whole forum, so people are sharing their ghost stories, kind of like how we have Parashares. Hello. But... it's neat. You can check in with other ghost hunters. There's different forums and different ways to communicate and, of course, talk to the different authors from Clarissi Press, like myself, John Kachuba, and Mike Varhala.
You just love saying that, don't you?
What?
The other authors, like myself.
Well, finally, right? You know, I've been a writer for years, but never an author, like, published, you know. And, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Is going to probably, well, she's definitely doing the Haunted Road Trip book for Pennsylvania that'll come out next year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Patty Starr, right, from Kentucky? She's going to do Haunted Kentucky,
okay.
Or Ghost Hunting Kentucky. And that'll come out next year. So hopefully, I mean, they're the authors that will also, I mean, America's Haunted Road Trip also put up a MySpace page as well, and they've got them on there, but I'm sure they'll get them in on their own, this America's Haunted Road Trip site. And pretty cool. It's a nice venue. I think it should do pretty well, you know, because it is the MySpace of paranormal. I know there's been other things that came. Remember that I Am Haunted?
Yes.
And that got hacked into or something, mm-hmm. and was destroyed. Now, I heard at last count, I think from Dave Roundtree, that it got itself resurrected, but I never went back to it because I was just like, ugh, you know, I need another site to maintain like a hole in my head, you know. So I figured... with the America's Haunted Road Trip, I had somewhat of definitely a vested interest. So, all right, you know, put some energy into that. But I wasn't the I Am Haunted thing. I just let it fall by the wayside, you know. But, yes, we got lots doing for Halloween. I know this weekend when this show uploads, Friday the 24th, I'll be presenting at the Cranberry Inn for the Cranberry Library. But they booked a room at the Cranberry Inn because they needed a larger venue.
Okay.
And that's at Friday night, the 24th, at 7 o'clock. People are welcome. If you listen to this before 7 o'clock on Friday, you can go there.
Yeah, people will listen to this. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I can dream. And then Saturday, the 25th, I have a book signing, I believe, in the afternoon at Mendham Books in Mendham. And then that night at 7 or 7:30, I'm at the East Brunswick Public Library. Then Sunday, the 26th, I think from 1 to 3, I'm at Barnes & Noble in Ledgewood, and possibly from 4 to 5 at the Book Loft in Mansfield. I'm still waiting to hear back from him.
It's the wind.
Okay. The wind, Captain? Yes, the wind. It's an old Twilight episode, Twilight Zone.
Yeah, old being the key.
Yeah, well, for those of you who know Twilight Zone, you'd know that episode, you know. They're on the ship, and it just keeps reliving itself. Like it's like the Groundhog Day, but the Twilight Zone version of it. And the wind, yes, the wind, Captain. Anyway.
Okay.
So that's Sunday. And then, of course, we go into Monday the 27th, where I'm bright and early. I'm on location at the Town Tavern in Chatham. And basically...
basically, you can check out just the website and see all the places you're going to be.
Yes, let me tell you, because next week, every morning, the NJGHS is doing News 12 New Jersey, and then every night except for Wednesday night, Wednesday got canceled. The venue that I was supposed to be doing, like, Victorian garbed-up ghost tours for this fundraiser, it was a private event, the venue, their personnel, their hierarchy, was not... happy when they heard that ghost tours would be conducted. They did not want that stigma attached to their venue, and they respectfully requested that they redirect the organizers of this fundraising event redirect their energy to somewhere else. So, and the, you know, the fundraiser felt so terrible. She's like, oh, you know, the gentleman who's organizing all this, he feels terrible. He wants to send you a ticket. And I mean, it's like you're talking like a $100, $200 ticket to go to this event, you know, because it's a fundraiser. He feels like he should invite you and you should go because, you know, I was going to go down there on my own time and own gas to investigate this place and do research on it, historical research, so I could put together a legitimate mm-hmm. tour. I wasn't just going to lead people around and make up stuff, you know. And I... you know, it was for a good cause. I figured, I'll invest my time and do it. It's for a good cause. So this guy was nice. He, you know, he told the woman, she wrote back to me. She said, he feels terrible. He still wants to extend an invitation, leave a ticket for you to come. And I wrote back to her. I said, not for nothing, but that, with the schedule I've got next week, to actually have one night that I could get into bed before 10 o'clock, I'm taking it. That's the best gift he could have given me, you know? So she goes, oh, I completely understand. So, but other than that, every day it's like, you know, if I'm not doing one thing, I'm doing another with presenting and stuff. But, and so by, and then I thought Saturday I could just sleep in and just go to Bug's party Saturday night. Oh no. I found out that the Clinton bookstore booked me for Saturday from 2 to 4 or something, or whenever it is.
I sure wish I had a violin sound effect right now.
Oh, bite me. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying this is, you know, it's going to be busy, but I'll have to get through that other book signing.
You're making some cheese for that wine.
I'm not whining. I am stating the facts as they are. And so I thought I would get to sleep in on Saturday, but no, I have one more book signing, and then I'll come home from that. And then, you know what? I'm going to Bug's party, and I say this every year, and I'm going to get wasted. And I never do, because it's such a long drive. You know, I can't really drink. You know, you have one drink, and then it's like you got to let it wear off before you can schlep home. But in any event, there's a couple good bands playing. Johnny Peso will be playing at his house, which, obviously, since he's the drummer, it's his house, they'll be playing. But, so, yeah, it's doing. What are you doing for Halloween next coming week?
Working.
Yeah, that's it. You're all the way out here in frickin' Oshkosh, PA, Pennsylvania, so we can't get you on the TV or anything.
Nope. I'm working Friday, and I'll be working half a day Saturday.
Ew. No. Wait. Saturday, Halloween, November 1st-ish. Working?
Yes.
Why?
It's called disaster recovery testing.
Yeah, it is a disaster if they're screwing up your Halloween.
Yep. God. It's all getting the bills paid.
Yeah, I hope so. Jeez. Well, anyway, if people check out the presentations page of the NJGHS.net website, you will see that. I've tried to get the new Jib Jab video uploaded to our website. It will not take. I put in the HTML embedding code, and all it brings up is a blank white block on NJGHS's. And yet, on MySpace, it's like, oh, do you want to put this on your MySpace? Yeah, click here. Boom. And it went right in. So you have to go to myspace.com/NJGHS, and you will see the latest. I redid Math Camp Massacre.
Oh, Lordy.
You're still the murderer. But I got some more NJGHS people on there, so it's all NJGHS. I did another one, too, of you and I think Dina and Greg as zombies.
I am not responsible for anything she puts up on that site.
So go to the MySpace NJGHS page and look at the nice Halloween-y videos. And you know what? And I even have Foamy, because Foamy does one of his rants about how Halloween is so cutesy and stupid now versus how it used to be. And it's this. I was watching it last night. I was like, oh, I should embed this on my America's Haunted Road Trip. And then, you know, he's using the F-bomb right and left. And I thought, no, my publisher maybe wouldn't appreciate that. So, you know.
Yeah, they don't have a G-rated version of his rant, so.
No, but he's hysterical. And, yeah, so I got a couple Foamies on the MySpace page. So check him out. He's adorable. And make sure you keep an eye on the website. And I don't know. We'll be back after this.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed. What a shame we don't have any of those traits.
Oh yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Planet Demon Hunter the show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Hi, this is John. I'm Zaphis, author of Shadows of the Dark. Welcome to another evening of Deadline, hosted by New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back. It's time to tell you about our meetings. Now, the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society has two meetings free and open to the public to attend every month. The first Wednesday of every month is the Central Jersey Division meeting, and that's headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish, and it's held in the Hazlitt Library, which is conveniently located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. Their meeting runs from 7 to 8:30 p.m., and we always have the North Jersey. That's the third Tuesday of every month, and their meeting is going to take place November 18th, and that's in the Hackettstown Community Center, located at 293 Main Street. Dina Chirico is team leader. She heads that up. Her meeting runs from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
Yeah, so you got the time right this time.
Yeah. Actually, I apologize. The Yahoo calendar was set, and it already sent out the reminder about the meeting, because the night that tonight that we're recording is our NJGHS monthly meeting. And Dina sent me an email. She said, you know, it's the wrong time in the announcement. I'm like, oh, crap. So I did update the calendar, and I sent out an apology correction blip on the Yahoo Blast. So speaking of Yahoo Blast, that's our Yahoo groups, the NJGHS Yahoo group. Now, you can join that for free. The link is right on our homepage. I suggest you do it. That way you get the latest and greatest and erroneous info blasted right into your email. And then you get all the corrections and follow-ups. But, you know, it's pretty handy.
Yeah, you can find out if there's any cats to give away. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, luckily I got her adopted. Oh, good God, what a mess. That was just, you know, it's just one cat more than I needed in my life. It really, it's just too much. I just realized, wow, I have my boys, Tom and Bob, are just so trained, and we coexist peacefully. And just, the third one,
she gets a date to stay in the bedroom.
Well, you know, they come out, but not really Bob, but, you know, just having that third one was just that much more work. And I just thought, wow. And I was so tempted to keep her, but then I got the notice they're doing apartment inspections with the state representatives coming around to make sure your egresses are all clear, that you don't have anything cluttering in the hallways, to make sure all the smoke alarms are working, and all this other stuff. So I got a note. And that means the superintendent's going to come around to let the state representative in. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, he knows I have the two cats, but he walks in and sees a third, I'll end up being in big trouble. So that lit a fire under my butt to get Dear Prudence out the door. And we did. We did it. Nice woman came from, where is she from? Byram. She was from Byram. She's a teacher, and so she adopted the cat, so thank God. But anyway, not to digress, but yes, you should attend our meetings. We always have a share and scare segment at every meeting, so you can bring your audio recordings, questionable photos, and have them evaluated. Now, let me move along and tell you about Parashare. Do you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter to tell? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net. For each Parashare you submit and we read on the show, you'll receive one credit. You may use your credits to receive membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, only one credit necessary. So that's a $20 value, people. Or you may save up 10 credits for a natal chart, and that's a $75 value. We'll keep track of the Parashares and let you know when you hit 10, and then you can send me your birth date, birth time, birthplace, and I will send you a full-color natal chart printout with my handwritten notes as well. So there you go. Make sure you send in your Parashares, and it doesn't have to be specifically a ghost. It could be something that was weird, paranormal, that you've experienced or that your friend told you, you know, what have you. But just send it to thedeadline@njghs.net.
This week, instead of a Parashare, we have TV ghost hunter Patrick Burns with us. Here's a little bit about Patrick. He's the all-American paranormal investigator, best known as the star of True TV, which is formerly Court TV, their series Haunting Evidence. He is the founder of the popular website Ghost Hounds, which in 2001 was featured in an Emmy Award-winning Turner documentary, Interact Atlanta, Ghost Hounds. Patrick Burns is also the organizer and director of Ghost Doc, a paranormal investigators convention held twice annually in Savannah, Georgia, and is a professional photographer through Patrick Burns Photography. Burns is frequently a speaker at Dragon Con and goes by the handle, I love this, Ghost Geek, in the paranormal community. He currently lives in Atlanta with his wife, Pam, and their two sons. And fortunately for us, he is with us tonight to do an interview. So welcome, Patrick. It's so nice to have you on the show.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, this is great. So you're all set for Halloween? I bet you're like burning the candle at both ends here.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah, I'm actually going out on the college lecture circuit. Doing lectures at various colleges around the East and the Midwest, mm-hmm. and really looking forward to it. But it's going to be a crazy travel schedule for me starting this Friday, and then basically doesn't let up until November 2nd.
Right.
Sunday, November 2nd is when I'll finally fly home. So I've got a whole solid week jam-packed of worth of lectures all next week. I mean, literally going from, I think I start out in Florida on Monday, and then I'm in Beverly, Massachusetts on Tuesday.
Oh,
on Wednesday.
God.
Wednesday, I'm in St. Louis. Thursday, I'm back in Georgia. Friday, I'm back in Ohio. I do a second speaking engagement Saturday in Ohio, and then Sunday night I will finally fly back home to the Atlanta area, completely exhausted, I'm sure, burnt out.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's you. All right, so now I have no reason to complain and moan, because I've been looking at my calendar going, geez, I mean, this is it. I don't come up for air until November 2nd. Like, when I wake up that day,
yeah.
That's it, and, you know, it's over.
Right.
But at least I'm all within the same state.
Yeah,
I don't have to deal with the whole airport travel nightmare thing, so
It's going to be a little crazy and a little hectic, and all I can say is hopefully I don't run into any flight delays. Hopefully the gods of air travel smile on me next week, because while I did factor in, you know, trying to fly out to a lot of these locations on earlier flights, you know, there's always a possibility that there's a flight delay because of weather or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of at the mercy of fate at this point, and we'll just have to, you know, keep our fingers crossed and see how it goes. But I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to going and doing these lectures and educating the lay people out there who probably aren't paranormal investigators themselves a little bit more about what we do and what we're about. So
exactly.
Really looking forward to it.
I think, and if I can make a suggestion, when you go to these colleges, if anything, whoever your publicist or PR person is, they should definitely, I found this out, this is like the third college I've been to. I just went yesterday. And the problem I find with college campuses, they have no signs. Once you pull onto that campus, you have no idea what road leads where, and you're supposed to be in some building named after some president, and you can't find it from any other building.
Right.
And I sat there yesterday, and I said, why don't they appoint like an ambassador who just meets you at the guard booth, says, just pull into this guard booth and you follow this college student, because one college did that, and that was Fairleigh Dickinson, and that
mm-hmm.
was great, and actually Fairleigh Dickinson has little street signs on campus, so it's not too hard to navigate, and that's what led me to the one
sure.
parking lot, and then the kid came right to my car, and he led me, thank God, I never would have found, had to go through all these buildings and hallways to this room to present.
Right.
You know? That's
yeah.
more frightening than the ghost hunting. You're just trying to find your way around, and then your heart's in your throat because you're like, I don't want to be late, you know?
Of course. Yeah, I when I do those types of lectures, I typically factor in that, and I try to make it to them, good and early, a couple of hours early to, just give myself a chance to relax, figure out where I'm going, and if I have a chance to, because a lot of these lectures that I do at colleges, they actually have me out at the conclusion of the lecture walking around taking students on a paranormal investigation around campus.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so in many instances what I do is, I'll get there early and kind of scope things out a little bit, try to get some of the local lore, history
mm-hmm.
of the location, and try to, you know, just basically try to... get a feel for the place before I do it. So, I'm perpetually one of these people who is always, it seems always, like, procrastinating or always running late on stuff. My lectures are one of the times that I actually kick myself in the butt and make sure that I get there good and early. So.
Yeah. That's what my mother always said, as long as you're not late for church and work, you're good to go.
That's it, yep. So for exactly the reasons you outlined, I'm wanting to make sure that I'm at these locations. I need to be bright and early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I left ahead of time, but sometimes you never know. But it all works out, you know. So.
Of course.
All right, now I'm sure you've heard this question a gazillion times, so forgive me, but what got you started, like, in ghost hunting and researching? I mean, were you just like a kid and you just thought, oh, this is neat, and then you went away from it and came back to it, or what led you to this?
Well, you know, it's funny. Nobody has ever asked me that before in my life.
Really?
I'm kidding. I'm pulling your leg, of course.
Okay.
Sorry,
I'm a little slow on the uptake here.
No, it's okay. No problem. No, I get asked that question constantly, of course, as do all of us in this field. And my interest in it really is no different than most others. You know, I was fascinated with ghost stories as a child, and I think it started out with Casper the Friendly Ghost. And back then, in those days, my parents, well-meaning as they were, constantly reassured me that there were no such things as ghosts, that ghosts were just the subject of scary stories to be told around the campfire, and, you know, just mythical creatures that didn't exist.
Right.
Well, after my grandparents had passed away, we had lived in the first house that I lived in growing up was in Wheeling, Illinois, and we lived in a small ranch house on a tract of land directly adjacent to my grandparents. After both of my grandparents had passed away, my parents ended up selling both of our houses, and we moved into a larger house because it was a family of six. I had three brothers, rather, so four boys and two adults. Got a little cramped in this three-bedroom ranch. So we expanded. We looked and we found a bigger house further out that was more in line with what we were looking for, and we moved there. Mm-hmm. We ended up selling my grandparents' house to a couple that lived just down the street from us, named Mr. and Mrs. Darlington. I think they were two doors down from us. They were three doors down from my grandparents.
Okay.
Now, Mrs. Darlington knew my grandmother, but not really well, not even really on an acquaintance level, just sort of as a neighbor passing in the street. And, you know, so they knew who each other were. That she recognized my grandmother, but they weren't particularly friends. And they ended up, like I said, the Darlingtons bought my grandparents' house back in the mid-1970s. This would have been, I think we moved out of there about 1975. And a couple of years later, my mother, got a phone call from Mrs. Darlington, and she said, I don't know quite how to tell this to you, but she said, I was in the kitchen this morning making breakfast, and I turned around, and my grandmother, talking to my mom, mm-hmm. your mother was standing there staring at me. Wow. Of course, my mom had never believed in ghosts up till this point. She said, okay, well, that's nice. Maybe you need to lay off the early morning martinis. And she said, no, I'm completely serious. And she said, I felt like I was being welcomed into the home. And she said, it looked like she was wearing a purple robe or a purple house coat. And that's when my mom's jaw hit the floor, because this purple house coat was my grandmother's favorite article of clothing to wear around the house on the holidays. But it wasn't something that she would have worn, you know, on a regular basis, and certainly Mrs. Darlington would have never seen her in it, considering it was just something she wore, like, for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter.
Right.
So my mom really, at that point, had to kind of reassess her whole thought process on what was going on here. You know, it was like, wow, not only do ghosts exist, but my own grandmother has apparently been seen as one. Now, you want to talk about something that has an impact on an impressionable child. I mean, that just completely turned my world upside down. I was like, this is so cool. My own grandma has been seen as a ghost. And that really, at that point, that's when I started to really start absorbing and trying to read as much about this activity, this phenomena as possible.
Wow. And how old were you then?
You know, I would have to say around 10 years old, give or take a couple of years.
Okay.
You know, it's been so long. I just turned 40 here, so a lot of water under the bridge since then.
Oh, yes. And, happy birthday. I saw that you're a Libra.
Thank you very much. I am indeed. Yes. I turned the big 4-0 on September 29th. And but it's been, you know, it's been at least, you know, roughly give or take 3 decades since that happened. But I've never forgotten it. When my mom told me about it, it was profound. It just really, it shook her to the core, and of course, me to the core as well. And that just sort of propelled me down this path in my life.
Wow.
And here I am.
So you yourself didn't experience anything as a kid. It was just hearing that story that got you.
No, I really didn't. I had a very normal, you know, as if there is ever such a thing as a normal existence in childhood. I had a normal existence for all these years, without anything really eventful going on in my life. And that I could peg as being paranormal. Wasn't until I got to be older, I got into my 20s, that I started to experience things and started to realize that maybe some of this stuff is real. Maybe there really is more to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's some people always say, well, aren't you scared? You know, going in doing this, and I'm like, yeah, trust me, dating in your 40s is scary, but this is thrilling. You know, if anything, it's thrilling because you never know, is this the one where I'm going to get the full body apparition? Is this the case that's really going to knock my socks off in terms of research?
Right.
And it just keeps you coming back for more.
Absolutely. I would have to agree 100% on that. You know, it really is. It's a passion. Obviously, none of us do this to get rich.
Yeah, exactly.
Including myself. Sure, I get compensated to be on the television program, but, you know, it's not really as much as most people might think, and you know, it's not steady work either. You know, which is unfortunate. It's you know, it's sort of hit and miss. You know, as we're in production, I get paid, and as we're not in production, I don't get paid. So that's just sort of the way it works. But you know, it's definitely something that you don't get into with the intent of being on TV. This is something that you should be passionate about, and it's almost, I like to liken it as a spiritual type of experience. So.
Yeah. It, you have to, I think, from what I've seen and experienced myself, you can't be a paranormal investigator without, when I always tell people, you know, you may be raised Catholic or Baptist or what have you, but make it a point to get a little well-versed in every religious path, because you never know what space you're walking into and what path that particular family or business owner could be on. And you need to be kind of familiar with where they're coming from and why some of this activity could be happening. And, you know, it is spiritual. You do have to have, I think you have to have your own system intact. Even if it's not like, I always tell people, check your religion at the door. We're here to investigate. But I think on the inside, you should at least have whatever you have straightened out. I wouldn't go walking into something that, you know, potentially could be dangerous, and then you're not really quite sure where you stand on a spiritual level. That puts you at a disadvantage, I think.
Well, I think it does, too. And I think, really, the curiosity, the bottom line curiosity for most of the people in this field is from a spiritual perspective. We're searching for evidence of life after death. That's the majority of us. Maybe not everyone, but certainly for me, it was the catalyst that sort of catapulted me into this field was after my brother died at 22 years old in a very tragic automobile accident. That's really when things started to ramp up for me. That's really when things started to intensify, and I started to take a more keen interest in this field.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Dennis.
Yeah, it was tragic. He died in a very violent automobile accident at 22. I believe I was 16 years old at the time. Just really nothing that you could ever really prepare for.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, it just, when you lose somebody in an automobile accident, something like that, it's so sudden, it's so tragic, and it is so final that you really don't have a time to prepare. You know, you don't have time to say goodbye. Literally, they are here one day and then they are gone the next.
Yeah.
And it is so final. And it hit everyone in my family very hard, particularly my mother. But for me, that's when I really started searching for answers to this stuff and searching to see if there really was evidence, you know, something tangible versus being told, you know, being spoon-fed what organized religion tells us that we have to believe. I wanted to experience stuff for myself, because seeing and experiencing is believing. And that's really what drove me into this field and continues to drive me to this day, is looking for that evidence. I believe that I've found it, but it's almost a drug of sorts. you get it once and you find some incredible evidence and you want to look for it again, which is consistent with the scientific process.
Exactly.
The scientific method is searching for the events. Now, we do unfortunately lack the repeatability that science demands on a regular basis, but, you know, we may go into a location and get activity more than once in a single location. So, you know, this is what drives me, and I know drives the majority of people in the paranormal investigation community. Hi there.
Hi.
So,
hi.
While I'm out doing this interview, I'm actually taking my dog for a walk as well. So.
Oh, that's great. Nothing like multitasking.
Yes, absolutely. I have to these days.
As many
calls as I have for interviews, and as much as I'm traveling these days, multitasking is an absolute necessity in our field here, or at least it is for me.
Especially this time of year,
I liken October to being our Christmas rush, our Christmas
yes.
season.
It definitely is
what it is. Yeah, after
and it's starting
November,
earlier every year. Have you noticed that? It used to be like October 1st, and it was like the middle of October. Then it got to be towards the beginning of October. Now it's like the middle of September. I start getting newspaper reporters.
Yeah, it's really starting to pick up in terms of its appeal, and definitely the media is. I've noticed this as well over the years that the it starts moving further and further back every year. So.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, what advice would you have for other ghost hunters, ghost researchers? What would you, if someone said to you, well, what's the best thing I can do in order to be on the case? What would you say?
Well, to keep an open mind. You know, so many people in this world, in this field, think the word skeptic is a four-letter word, you know, that it means disbeliever. No. It's not. A skeptic is someone who thoroughly investigates all aspects of a claim before making an educated decision.
Right.
And doing so, being a skeptic is very healthy. It is, again, in line with the scientific method to thoroughly examine all the evidence. And yeah, we all want to find the ghosts. We all want to find evidence of paranormal activity. And, certainly I think if you keep at this for even a little while, most of us find activity that we can't explain. But, you know, keeping the open mind to all possibilities, even if it isn't what you personally want to find, is imperative. Because when you find the stuff that you can't debunk, it makes it that much more compelling.
Exactly. Yeah, I've always said I'd rather have skeptics on the team than these blanket believers, you know.
yeah, and we get a lot of blanket believers around this time of year. I call them seasonal thrill seekers, you know. The once-a-year ghost hunters that only really really only have an interest in this for the month of October, and then once Halloween passes, you know, everybody just sort of, you see a lot of these people go away. So one of the things that I have done over the years is I've kind of closed off bringing in new affiliates to investigate for the month of October to kind of alleviate that.
Oh, that's good.
I would recommend other groups do that. Starting about September 1st, and I guess maybe, you know, going the first week into November, you know, get at least a little bit past Halloween so it's not still on everybody's mind.
No.
Close off your membership for, you know, a good eight to 9 weeks. It will help alleviate a lot of that, these problems that we run into within our groups, of picking up people along the way that are only really interested in it because it happens to be Halloween.
Right.
Aren't necessarily going to be dedicated and put forth the dedication that it demands. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, we have people that can join up year-round, but I do notice,
mm-hmm.
with everything that's going on around Halloween, we don't, as the organization goes, I don't really have many cases to send people out on, and if I were to get a lot of cases, because it gets so busy with all the media stuff, I would have to send people that have already been trained and certified who have proven they're serious about this.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't take a newbie who had no training and say, oh, sure, here, you handle it.
Right. But, yeah, absolutely.
So let me ask you, I know this sounds strange, but I don't know why. I was trying to come up with questions, and I thought of this, and you don't even have to answer it if you don't want to, but I thought, if you had the chance to do an investigation over again, yeah, any one of your investigations, if you had a chance to do one over again, which one would it be, and why, or what would you do differently?
Oh, to do an investigation over again.
Yeah.
In other words,
knowing what you know now, if you said, oh, if I could have done this, I would have done it this way.
Huh. Let me think back on that. You know, I know that there are investigations that I have thought that about, gone in and conducted them and said, gosh, you know, I wish I'd had this, I wish I'd done that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everything across the board that I had done many years ago, you know, when I first started starting out in this field, if I had to really, pinpoint it, I guess everything that I did in the beginning, I would love to be able to go back and redo, because of course you learn new things as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
You make mistakes, quote unquote. You learn, you refine your protocol, you learn within your organization who you can trust, who you can't trust.
Yes, exactly.
You know, this is something that we're all run into, I know, is the problem of all the paradrama that goes on.
paradrama, that's the perfect word for it.
Yeah, really. I would make a blanket statement and say, pretty much everything that I did for the first couple of years, I'd love to go back and revisit and redo over, knowing what I know now.
Right.
You know, there's...
It's so... you make a good point, because I just as you're telling me this, I'm like, that's right. This was the learning curve. When I first started out, I remember we did an investigation, and I had all these pictures that the woman had taken. Now, I know what they were. They were amazing.
Right.
Vortices, okay? The stuff that you would just be salivating over getting on film. And I'm looking at them going, well, I don't know. So I show it to my friend who's a professional photographer. I'm like, well, what do you think? Is it fake? And he said, well, you know, you could fake this in a lab. He said, but it would cost a lot of money, and you'd have to have all the equipment. He goes, I don't think these people fake this. I would say it's legitimate, whatever. He goes, I don't know what it is photographically, but whatever it is, it's not something they fake. But, and in any event, I wrote the people off just being nut jobs and said, this is really crazy. This is so silly. And as years go by and I discover what a vortex is, and then I think, oh, my. I had those amazing pictures, and I, you know, but I was new and had no idea that that's what I was looking at, you know. And I was, and then the it just kills you.
if I had to put a point on that perfect example, exactly what you were saying, what you were saying was that, you know, your the photos that you see. When I first got into this, heavily, which was late 1999, back then, most of us still believed that orbs were evidence of spiritual activity. Mm-hmm. Of course, now we know that the overwhelming majority of these anomalies that appear in photographs are caused by airborne particulates such as dust, bugs, moisture, pollen, you know, anything floating around in the air when it gets illuminated by that bright camera flash. If it's sufficiently close to the lens, first off, it appears out of focus. Then it gets hit by that intense bright flash from the camera, and suddenly you've got this mysterious spherical anomaly appearing in the photos. And, of course, back then, most of us bought into it that these anomalies were evidence of spiritual activity because very few paranormal investigators were experienced photographers. In fact, I know a lot of professional photographers that didn't really understand the mechanics of what was causing these anomalies to appear. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of photographers simply assumed that an orb anomaly such as that, because remember, you're talking the pre-digital days. This is when everything was being shot on film.
Right.
An orb appears, those anomalies, they resemble what you would see from water spotting on the photographic print.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure that a lot of photographers probably would see these anomalies and just assume, oh, that's a spot where you know, water was a water drop hit on the either the negative or on the print that wasn't caught during the printing process. And of course, you know, that they probably would have assumed that 90% of you know, or maybe even 99% of them were being caused by water damage on the film or on the print. And then, of course, if they were to go in and actually examine the negative on the, you know, using a microscope, they would realize that the anomaly is not being caused by water. It's actually part of the film image. And that would probably cause a few of them to scratch their head and say, well, I don't understand what this is. This doesn't make any sense to us, why we should be getting this if it's not water damage. But, of course, we all learn as we go along. And now, of course, the overwhelming majority of us know that these anomalies are not paranormal in origin at all, that they are perfectly natural, explainable phenomena, and that we are able to... recreate them very easily. In fact, I have a test that I refer to it as Patrick's TP test, where I take basically a wad of bathroom tissue, roll it between my hands quickly, you take this. I'm sorry, I'm trying to multitask here. Once again, trying to feed the pets here as well. I'm giving hand signals back and forth to Pam here. You basically take this wad of bathroom tissue, you lightly roll it between your hands to kick up a bunch of dust, and when you do so, you kick a dust cloud up into the air, and then you quickly snap a flash photo of the resulting dust cloud that emerges.
Okay.
I guarantee you, in that photograph, you will see hundreds and hundreds of orbs in there.
True.
Now, with that said, that is not to mean that I do not believe that some orbs, anomalies, some of these anomalies
may in fact be paranormal in origin. And
okay.
The reason that I say this is because...
Yeah, you were staring me there. I was thinking, oh no, have I been telling people that it's the highest rate of false positive, but there are a few of that could be genuine paranormal? No,
I
I'm listening to you
that,
and I'm thinking,
oh
no, I'm giving the wrong information.
No. You know, again, like I said, the overwhelming majority, and
right.
I mean, we're talking 99%, you know, 999 out of 1,000, maybe even higher than that, are exactly what we've talked about, airborne particulates, such as dust, such as bugs, pollen, smoke, these sorts of things that are causing these anomalies to appear. There is a small, minuscule percentage that I believe are genuine or may be something other than airborne particulates.
Okay.
And the reason that I say this is because I do not consider myself to be a sensitive or a psychic or, you know, in fact, the running joke with me is I'm not a psychic, nor do I play one on TV. I only drive them from location to location.
Right.
You know, so I know I don't really consider myself to be a quote-unquote sensitive to this type of activity, even though those that are gifted believe that everyone is to a varying degree.
Mm-hmm.
I have had several situations on investigations where I have directly observed these anomalies with my naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would normally dismiss them as being just my mind playing tricks on me, or whatever, you know, non-paranormal.
Right.
However, I have, on no fewer than probably 5 or 6 different occasions, I have actually had people standing off to the side of me or behind me with a video camera and actually capture this same anomaly on the camera, proving that I did actually see something. I did actually observe these anomalies moving around.
Right.
You know, so I have been validated in that regard.
And that makes a difference, because how else, I mean, it's not like everybody could see dust floating by, you know.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But I would be probably apt to dismiss it as something like that if it weren't for the fact that I have had this substantiated and validated on video several
right.
times now.
And I think, too, with the orbs, the key thing, I usually tell people, you know, if you're looking at your digital camera, you think you got an orb, don't even move. Just keep taking pictures so we can compare them to see, was it there, is it not there, did it, you know,
of
if
course.
It's dust, it's going to keep showing up, you know. And I always tell
right.
to do that. And I said, and then the other thing I find that's critical is to make sure there's other verifying, like at least your EMF goes off or some other detection takes place or you get a thermal drop and an orb, then I would say, wow, that's probably the real deal because you have something concurrent to, you know, substantiate it. But it's
right.
9 times out of 10, if it's just the orb, it's probably the dust, you know, or the
of
pet
course.
Dander.
Yeah.
You know?
Better than 9 times out of 10. I would say 9,000 times
yeah.
out of 10,000. You
right.
know, or 9,999 times out of 1,000. I don't know if it's 1 in 1,000. I don't know if it's 1 in 10,000. But I do know that, to me, it's a rare occurrence.
Right.
And when I observe these things, they typically move very, very quickly.
Exactly.
Not always, but usually streak by pretty darn quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, when I observe them, if I was using a still camera, I would literally not have enough time to react to point a camera at it. That's where video camera comes up because of the constant stream. It's constantly
right.
recording individual still images, and that's why we catch them on video more often than we catch them with still cameras. With a still camera, it is going to be a just flat out luck. It's going
right.
to be dumb luck that yeah actually happened to image one in a photograph. But again, the problem is we don't have a good litmus test to know which types of anomalies, which types of orbs that show up in photographs are caused by dust, and which might be something else.
Right.
So, of course, we're all still looking for that, but...
exactly.
But, you know, that really does underscore in a very nice fashion to me, I think, just how far the field has come along. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like I said, when I started out, most investigators believed that orbs were evidence of spiritual energy. Right. Now we know better. A few years later, we've kind of progressed beyond that and come to the point where we now realize, you know, yeah, it's probably dust or just moisture in the air floating around. You know, that's a good example of what a grassroots movement this field is, because as you know, we don't get any research money aside from finding somebody who's wealthy that dives into it and buys all their own gear. This is completely self-funded for all of us, and really is one of the difficulties that we run into. Right. We don't get grant money like other areas do, like science does and medicine.
Now, I always tell people, you know, yeah, the NJGHS, funded by the Bank of Laura.
Yes. Yeah. I like that. That's good. That's very good.
I have to get going here because I want to honor your time. I know you've got a lot going on. So I really appreciate the time you took to chat with me tonight. I know the people are going to be thrilled. So they can catch you. Your show's on Saturday nights on True TV.
Saturday nights on True TV, 10 o'clock Eastern. One of the things that they've been doing the past couple of weeks is check your local listings for True TV or go to their website. They have been showing marathons and mini marathons of several episodes all at once. So if your listeners have never seen the show, it's a good primer to get up to speed on what the show is about.
Okay.
If people have seen the show and they're just wanting their haunting evidence fix, they can just tune in and watch the old rerun episodes. But our new episodes premiere at 10 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
Eastern time.
Oh, that's awesome. And then, of course, people can always find you on the web. You're on MySpace.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm everywhere.
Great.
I've got more web pages and more MySpace profiles than you can shake a stick at. And yeah,
I know,
yeah.
And every time somebody invites you to one, don't you feel like, oh, just shoot me. I don't need another one to maintain.
Yeah, pretty much obligated. Yeah, pretty much. But I'm pretty easy to find. You pop my name into Google, Patrick Burns, and it'll take you to my home pages. And, you know, usually there's multiple ways that people can get a hold of me. So.
Oh, that's great. Well, I really appreciate it, and I wish you the best for your, you know, I hope you get somewhat of a breather on the college circuit and have a really good time to have time with your family for Halloween. Enjoy the holiday.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure tonight talking with you.
You too. Take care.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
I'm Jane Doherty, psychic medium and author of Awakening the Mystic Gift. And you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Now it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now last week's Haunted Trivia, you were asked, what is the name of the powerful goddess who is the patron of magic and witchcraft? And you could get bonus points, like a pat on the back or an attagirl, attaboy, if you can name her 3 aspects. Now the answer is Hecate. And Dina knew this, but
She's a team leader, so she's disqualified. And Hecate is the, her three aspects are goddess of fertility and plenty, goddess of the moon, and queen of the night, ghosts, and shades. Now, Angela Petrovsky is our winner.
Wow.
Yay, Angela. Not only did she get the name Hecate correct, she even named the exact same three aspects as I have delineated prior. So, good for her. She is winning a copy of my book, Ghost Hunting New Jersey. So I wrote her back an email saying, send me your snail mail address, and I will get that off into the mail to her. So congratulations. Now, this week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of pretty easy. According to the NJGHS.net website, what is the first protocol for investigating? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the DVD Reality UFO Series, Volume 1. Reality Entertainment presents the Reality UFO Series, Volume 1, a unique series in conjunction with Hard Evidence and Ufologist magazines, featuring the most compelling, well-documented cases in UFO and paranormal history.
Well, you did read about that article, right?
What article?
I just saw something on Yahoo. There were some pilots back in the 50s who were given orders to shoot down a UFO.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. It's a big article right now. They're interviewed the old pilots and all that.
Yeah, now that they're in Depends and, you know, and Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
And now's the time to get the information. Well, yeah. No, I didn't read that, but that's, I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Shoot them down.
Wow. Yeah, that's like taking a water pistol against, like, you know, an AK-47.
A tank.
Yeah. you know, to each his own. So, we can wrap it up here. Don't forget, you know, and again, special thanks to Patrick Burns for being so gracious and taking time out of his hectic schedule to talk with us this week. That was awesome. And next week, after Halloween, the week after Halloween, November 7th, you will hear an interview with Stephen Lachance, who's the author of The Uninvited. So that will be very cool. You can also pick up a copy of his book, The Uninvited, at barnesandnoble.com, or you can go to his website. It's Stephen with a V, as in Victor, StephenLachance.com. And he has it there and all the information about it, so it's very cool. I think that's it, guys. So pray for me that I have the... What's that stuff called? Oh, adrenaline and stamina.
Chutzpah.
To get through this upcoming week. It's going to be a blitz, but, you know, this is it. Gotta do. So, I guess next week you'll be hearing our Halloween show that we did at the Town Tavern,
mm-hmm.
which should be fun. So, tune in for that. And just for now, I want to say thanks, as always, to the wonderful, beautiful, fascinating, effervescent... Brian Sant, RNJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king, baby.
You got it. And of course, our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and D.H. Rico. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.